Chapter 36, Cast Out Devils. The command, cast out devils, may now be put into practice. For now we can execute it with spiritual vision and divine authority. The devils are the generic false beliefs which have continued since the beginning of time, of which individualism is foremost. Christ taught that all reality is one, without parts or differences. Hence, the irreconcilableness of our self with a human mind or individuality. Conversely, generic man sets forth the doctrine of apotheosis, the deification of a human mind. To disclaim any allegiance to personalities in human doctrines brings one face to face with the flaming illumination and conviction that there is no other but the universal self. This one demands our full attention. Indeed, we need to clear out our vision until nothing is left before it but the perfect self and its perfect expression. On the other hand, or from the viewpoint of seeing there is nothing else, it is now easy to understand that the discordant forms called disease, poverty, or inharmony of any kind have no God in them. Hence, they have no life in them, no action nor power. But what originates their appearance? It can be traced directly to erring thinking and feeling, for this is it in form. This thinking, however, is altogether fabulous, since founded upon the mistaken assumption that there is a mind or consciousness other than the one which is God, and that such evil thoughts have power. The great realism remains intact. The only mind or consciousness we have is that which is a God. Hence, there can be and is no discordant form, no erring thinking, no other mind, life, or being. By virtue of the fact that God is all and there are no other personal thinkers, then all results attributed to them are mythical and spectral, void of existence. Consider the prevalent plague of Japanese beetles. Let us see in such particular instance what must be cast out. Do they express or represent life? Are they one with that life which is God, the whole? No. To be sure, they fly about, they have pretty colors and apparently the same life as us. But just what do they represent? They image the thoughts, actions, and feelings of nations and peoples at war with one another. Herein is fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus when he said, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." To claim that God life in any way includes a form of life which is a pest is to misinterpret existence. Moreover, instead of giving such insects the same life that we are to cast out the form of life which they seem to have, and disclaim any reality to it. Taking away their semblance of life by understanding that they image ignorance, disobedience, darkness, and deception, which have no life or reality in them, they fade into nothingness. Practicing this viewpoint, the author has recently seen such a demonstration take place. The beetles, which were attacking trees in the garden, were found thereupon lifeless. A slight touch of the branch, and they fell from the leaves onto the ground, dust to dust. Jeremiah proclaimed, "Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them." Ezekiel had a similar vision when he wrote, "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? They made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein." A plague or pestilence portrays avarice, destruction, warfare, strife, hate, greed, all based upon the root error that mind can be multiple, that life can be separated into human beings who can be at war with one another. Imprisoned in a personal mind or human intellect, one toils with sweat and tears. He walks in darkness, sleeps in darkness, and brings forth in darkness. This is the far country in which, in belief, he moves farther and farther from his real mind and true state of being, until finally the understanding comes to him that a personal mind or individual mentality is not to be transformed or trained in any way, but it is to be totally renounced. The Bible urges that we turn our hearts to the light, for the heart denotes the pure and spiritual longings, aspirations, and affections. Jesus sought the simple and pure in heart whereunto to plant his teaching. He knew how hardly shall they who are rich in intellectuality enter into the kingdom of spirit. Established as the one, we assert our prerogative to be law unto ourself, that nothing be with us that is not wholesome, perfect, and pure. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10, verse 7. Thus spake Jesus to those whom he sent forth to preach and to heal. Rejoice not over demonstrations, but rejoice because you have found yourself and everyone to be the truth and the life. How we should rejoice and be glad. Jesus' treatment was administered as the spoken word, the word of power, the word of command. The self speaks to the self with power and authority, saying, "Come forth." Joyously, the self hears the self and responds. From out the depths of love divine, the words come forth and is fulfilled. It does not consider personalities, nor mental inhibitions, nor seek to change any so-called consciousness. The word springs from the self, and is the self, and is the authority thereof. The self is without limitation of any kind, without discrepancy or discrimination. It is power almighty. It sees itself as the unconditioned, the free and irresistible always. Know thyself. Love thyself. Who is there in all heaven and earth but thyself? Say not, "I am," except in the name of the One, the Self who was and is and ever shall be, in whom there is no dream nor opposition of any kind. I am love. I am understanding. I am peace. I am abundance at every point alike. I am the demonstration of eternal good always. Nothing can be added to me nor taken from me. I and my creation are one and fill immensity. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Zechariah 14:9. The Lord is the infinite ego. His name is one, and his identity one. His harmony is one, his activity one. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. No one, no thing. There is none to oppose, none to be contrary, none to be separated. The divine consciousness reigns and is all in all. Knowing this ever-existent fact of being, the Christ confidently commanded, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. Dear friends, let us obey our Redeemer. Let us preach the gospel of oneness and allness to everyone who will listen to it. Let us teach the message of ontology, indivisible perfection, completeness, I am-ness. Let us admonish all to stop thinking from the premise of man seeking for his good. Instead, take the rightful state of the self alive forevermore. Once accepting our true state, we are bound to come into increasingly fuller light and revelation until they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 22, verses 4 and 5.